Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, you ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things today?
Pretty good. She's a foggy day today. You can't see very far, but it's a nice day.
Oh, that's all right.
Not too cold.
So we had an interesting last couple of weeks. We went to that Dinsmore thing we mentioned, and then right after that, we went to that 80-year-old Hall of Fame dinner where there was 600 people at it, and Dennis Hull spoke, and I actually got to sit with Brent Ashton and Freddie Sasaskamoos.
Yeah, you got good company.
Yeah,
there.
I got really lucky there.
I sat with Gary Peters and Jerry Pinder and some other guy, and it was good. It was a good supper, a good deal. Those old boys that were put in that Hall of Fame are pretty proud to say they're still playing hockey, and I talked to a few after, and guys that I knew when I played at Shrove Arena, and they were pretty proud. Their chest was sticking out, and they just wanted to say hello to me and all that. And one guy was 83 years old, and he's still playing. So I said, just keep her going as long as you can. Yeah.
Well, we went to the Shrove Arena to watch their game, right? And the rink was packed.
It was. There was a lot of people there younger people from an 80-year-old guy playing hockey.
Oh, it was their grandkids.
Yeah.
So it was their kids.
Yeah.
And their grandkids that were watching, because I was by the dressing room door when they were coming in, and there might have even been great grandkids.
Yeah, probably.
And they were getting pictures taken with their grandpa and great grandpas and stuff like that. They were pretty tickled pink with that, those guys.
Well, they'd be proud. I mean, some guys like Andy, I don't know his last name, but he was a nice guy. He's a school teacher, and he was 80 some years old and nice guy, and he was so proud to just be part of the team. And then when the game started, boy, those old boys are still moving pretty good.
They're moving pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah. They were just flying out there.
Oh, yeah. There was Kevin Waugh, who the old sports guy, and now he's a politician, was there.
Yeah.
And just name off some of the hockey players the old former hockey players that were there watching, too.
Well, Bill Orban was there. I played with him years ago. And Jerry Pinder, I played against him, never with him, but against him.
Both former Blackhawks.
Yeah. And there was lots of guys. Freddie Sakamoos, who you said, he was there also, and... Ashton was there. And
Dennis Hull,
he was also there watching too. He was the big speaker, and man, was he ever good.
Well, all those guys were at the game watching, and then, of course, they were at the supper too.
Yeah, yeah. You know? No, it was Freddie Sakamoos. You know what? He gave the
grace
before.
Yeah.
And he told a couple stories before, and I'll tell you, they were good stories.
They were good, yeah.
Like, it was really interesting to hear him talk, and I was thought, well, here we go. Because they said Freddie can talk pretty good.
He likes to talk.
Then he gave the grace and was all in Cree. And it was really good.
I thought it was pretty good, too. Like, because Freddie, obviously being a Native American and stuff, he talked about the first person that ever believed in him.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, well, Freddie come from a tough school. Just like, much the same thing. And a friend of mine, Willie O'Ree, I was the first one that ever played hockey with him. I played in Los Angeles with Willie before he went to Boston. And it's the same thing with Freddie, when being from that, where he came from, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he had to get recognized and he could play and not picked on. And what? Willie went through hell.
He really did.
Out in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Stick fights and guys challenging him and calling them dirty names. And he went through a lot.
There was a couple of people that knew, obviously, Freddie, when I was sitting there and they were coming by talking, and different people at different times, and every single one said, boy, that guy could shoot a puck.
Yeah.
He had a really hard shot.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it was pretty interesting to I never knew that about Freddie, but obviously it was one of his things. He said, he could really fire it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't know that, but I mean, he's probably a tough little guy.
Yeah. So today's podcast, we're going to talk about the goalie masks that you've worn.
Yeah.
And actually, it kind of came up because Well, while we were at that 80-year-old banquet, you and I needed a ride. And so Billy Orban was picking up Dennis Hull and dropping him off and picking up other guys. And so we didn't have a ride, and he had a big truck or big Escalade. And so we sat in the back, and we rode with him and Dennis Hull to the hotel, dropped off Dennis, and went and did a couple errands, did a couple of things, picked up Dennis and then a couple other guys.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, while we're kind of driving through the city, Billy's telling some great stories.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them ended up being talking, because he was there when you had had your mast made, your first mast made.
Yeah.
So we'll get into what that was like, but you've essentially had two masks in your career. The first one was a sawchuck type style that you had in, what, his first time you wore it in Montreal? Do you think it was?
I don't know where I wore it the first time. I just can't remember back that far, but it was not a very good, it fit good, and I filed out the eyes better so I could see my feet better and see out the corner of my eyes better, because you'd get hit a lot. Like, it's not like today where the goalie's in his crease and nobody can touch him. If they do, they get a penalty. Well, in those days, yeah, you were hittable at all times. And so that's why I wanted to see better out the corner of my eyes, to see if somebody was coming from behind the play, like heading out,
yeah,
and give me a shot. So I wanted to see that and protect yourself. But this sawchuck one was, and it was very weak kind of stuff. It wasn't hard like the plant one. It was, if you got hit on this sawchuck one, it would still cut you.
Oh, okay.
If it hit you direct on,
yeah,
you would still split your skin because it wasn't hard enough to withstand the puck hit.
Yeah.
So that was the problem with it. And then I got cut. I remember Jimmy Stanfield hit me in practice one day. I think I had this on in practice one day in Dallas. Pretty sure I did. And he hit me in the mouth and split me wide open. So
what was the reason why you had finally decided to put a mask on? Because a lot of guys didn't, right? They still, it was kind of a transition. Guys were and weren't. But do you remember, like, okay, I'm wearing a mask?
You had to. That was the rules of hockey. Every goalie, a certain date, had to have a mask. If you didn't wear a mask, you couldn't play.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's what, I didn't like them when I first started wearing them. But you had to get used to them, and that's the way it went. The first game I played, you had to have a mask on.
And, well, did you know roughly around, I think it was around November 1st, 1959, was the first time a goalie wore a mask?
Oh.
That was, of course, your buddy Jacques Plante, right?
Oh, yeah.
And his coach was not happy that he put the mask on.
Not?
No.
No. Thought you're chicken.
Yeah, they thought you were chicken. Yeah. They also thought if you didn't have a mask, the theory was you were more alert.
Yeah. Oh, when you're talking about Plante, I can believe that because I'm not a Plante lover. So.
Yeah, but isn't that something, hey?
Yeah.
And was the coach Toe Blake? I think it was Toe Blake that was the coach.
Probably.
He tried to convince Plante to take the mask off, but he wouldn't do it. And the Canadians went on to win 17 games in a row.
Oh.
And Toe Blake was still trying to get him to take the mask. So he took it off then, and they lost. And so then after that, it was no problem.
Yeah.
It was okay if he wore a mask.
Yeah.
And that's how it came about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Well, this Plante one, it's at the time, it was the best mask made, as far as I know. It's hard, and it's kind of shaped a V from the front. And it's like from your nose and out, it goes out, and then it kind of tapers back. So if you get hit, it's not a direct hit. It's usually a hit, and it'll glance off, and you won't get that hard blow. But I've had some hard hits on it because I, on the teeth and wherever. But you know what? It doesn't give. And I had my nose broken with this mask on at one time with Edmonton, Phoenix Roadrunners, I was playing with in WHA. And it was in a scramble, and I went down to freeze the puck, and Bobby Sheehan, I think I told the people that before, but Bobby Sheehan come through, and his skate caught me in the head when he went through, and it pushed my mask to the side, and of course your nose goes with it, and I broke my nose at that time, and it cut me two or three places. Like when it cuts, it just splits everywhere. That's the only problem with these masks, is it's they're not the most beautiful thing in the world, but I was telling you before, the mask that I like is that one with the wire mesh in front. That's the one I like. It's cooler. Like, these are hot, mm-hmm. very hot.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't have a choice, right?
No. And but the one I did not like was that guy that played goal for Russia.
Oh, yeah. Tretiak.
Warren or the other guy. He played in the NHL after that. I forget his name. Anyway, he had one with a wire cage in front, but the wire was so close together.
Oh, yeah.
Like too close, and you couldn't. I don't know how he could see through that. I really don't know. Anyway, that's the one that I remember is that one.
So the main one that most people remember you for is, it would be called the Jacques Plante style, because I think he came up with that one in the 70s. It'd be very familiar to what Bernie Parent wore for other people that they talk about, right? They know. You had that one in Edmonton and in Phoenix, obviously. And we still have that mask. And a couple of things I was going to ask you about that mask. So first of all, before we get into the paint job you had on it and everything else, but tell us how they actually make this mask, because that's kind of an interesting story.
Well, it's a scary story. I mean, I think about it now, and I get claustrophobia if I'm underwater looking at beautiful plants in the bottom of an ocean. With that little mask on, I get claustrophobia. I just get panicky. And this thing here, they put you on a table and stick some things in your nose and tell you they're going to cover my, and they put a shield around your face, a plastic shield or something to, and what they do is they pour plaster on your face.
Plaster or fiberglass?
It's a plaster.
Oh, to make the mold.
To make the mold.
Okay.
So, and you got to keep your eyes closed, keep your mouth closed, and you're breathing through these two little straws in your nose. I mean, to me, I just about panicked when they were doing it. I remember doing it because it was not nice.
Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, and you got to sit with this on for a little time after they pour it for it to harden.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lift the whole thing off, and then that's your face.
Yeah.
So then they make this mask onto that, pour fiberglass onto that face.
Right.
To make the form of your face, and every wrinkle will show.
Yep.
Of your face and stitches and everything else. So you couldn't do it when you had stitches in your face or anything else, because that would have showed up. But you made a point of Bill Orban. He remembered this. I think he was with me when I had this done at the right time. And, you know, I didn't like it, but you know what? I had to do it.
Yeah, he brought it up. He said you did not like it at all. You were panicking quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell those, get away from this for a minute, with Bill Orban. I was in Edmonton or wherever we were playing. No, I think we're in L.A. That's where we were in L.A. And I had groin problems. So the team said, well, you got to go see the doctor, Dan. He'll give you a shot in your groin it's cortisone is what it is. It'll help for a month or 2 months, and it'll really help you. So I went with this. Mark Boileau was the guy with me, and we parked in the downstairs, and we took the elevator up, and we're going to the doctor's office, and he called me in, and he said, this is what we're going to do, is stick this big, long needle, about a 5-inch needle long, and they stick it in your groin and find the muscle, and then we inject this cortisone into it, and you should be better. So anyway, I didn't like that too much, but anyway, had to do it. So it's just like a dirty job had to be done. So anyway, after the needle, I come out, and I was kind of wobbly, and Mark took my arm, and we took the elevator down to downstairs where the car was parked, and that cool air hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I passed out. Down I went. And Mark just panicked. He thought I was dying. So I woke up and I says, I'm okay. Just relax. And so that was I've had some of those needles since. A couple times I've had them in Saskatoon.
Really? Why did that needle, what hurt so much about it, or what was it?
It's just your groin is weak and it doesn't, it's not, no strength left in it, and sometimes when I'm walking, it'll react. I'll get a sore groin, but you know what? If I just slow down, I say, you guys go ahead, and I'll just walk slow, and it'll come back.
So was it the pain of the needle, or was it the pain in the groin, or was it just in your head? What was it?
Seeing the needle.
Seeing the needle.
Oh, I saw it, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be terrible going in there. So anyway.
So it made you fainty.
Pardon?
It made you kind of want to faint.
Like I just did faint.
Yeah.
Oh, down I went. I was out.
Oh, that's hereditary, because I'm like that too.
Are you?
Yeah. Had my shoulder. I had some needles put on my shoulder, and the guy ultrasounded it so he could see where the needle was going.
Oh.
And so I watched the ultrasound, and you saw the needle come in the ultrasound into the muscle.
Yeah.
And I got really fainty.
Oh, yeah.
As long as I didn't see it, I was okay. When I saw it, I was just like, He gave me some sugar and some magic medicine on that cube of sugar, and I came around. But
yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
it's a I don't know, it's a vagal response, they call it, to that and diapers I'm allergic to. I can't change diapers either.
So anyway, this getting back to this mask of plants here, it was the best one at the time for me. So I took it, but I had to file out the eyes a lot.
You didn't have to.
No, but I did because felt more comfortable. But a puck will go into the eye. It will cut. It'll damage your eye if it fits right into the hole.
Well, sure. So will a stick, right?
Yeah.
And you and I were just watching a video here.
Yeah.
Because Bernie Perrant's career ended, I think it was 1979, because a stick got into his mask and it damaged his eye.
Yeah.
We were just watching that.
Yeah. And that. I remember one time too. I playing in. I think I had the same mask. I think I did anyway. And I was playing with Seattle in the Western Hockey League, and I went down to Springfield to finish out the season with them. And the wife come down too, and like you were just a baby, you came too, three kids. And we went into Nova Scotia or someplace one night, and the other goalie with me was Billy Smith. He was my partner.
Yep.
So, and I played this game this night, and I remember that night getting hit in the eye, and I had to be pulled out because it was cut and the eye was damaged.
Really?
Yeah. So that, you know what, it's still possible you can get hurt through the eye. I mean, your eyes are always, you got to see.
Oh, for sure.
So you're going to,
well, yeah.
Point of a stick can spear you or many
even
things.
The new mask, they can. It's just their eyes are maybe a couple inches behind there, whereas your eyes were literally like right there.
Yeah.
On these masks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think most people remember that Bernie Perrant ended his career on an eye injury.
Well, I didn't. When you told me about it, then I kind of remembered something happening like that. And I don't like to retire that way when you get hurt like that.
No.
I'd sooner did the way I did. I'm sitting beside Gordie Howe in an old timers game in Saskatoon and just saying, you know what? This is the cream of the crop right here.
That's right.
Nice.
So your Edmonton Phoenix mask here, the Jacques Plante style, essentially, it just has, I'm just kind of looking at it now, like a little bit of foam inside on your nose, a little bit of foam, and I'm talking maybe a 16th inch thick on your forehead, and I don't know if there was ever any in your cheeks or not, but otherwise it's just some fiberglass against your face, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hot. When it's hot in that ice, that you don't get much air under there, and like lots of times on the ice, I would lift that mask off and wipe my face with my sweater.
I think you see that quite a bit if you look at pictures of goaltenders that were that back in the day.
Yeah,
quite often you would notice that they've got it lifted up.
Well, I told everybody when I was playing, I would lose on the first night, like Friday night, if I was playing on a Friday night somewhere, I would lose 10 pounds in that game.
Yeah.
But the next night I wouldn't because I had nothing to lose. It was gone, maybe 5 pounds and then five next night. But after the weekend was done, if I played 3 games in 3 nights, I was skinny.
Well, the equipment's so heavy and so hot.
And my pads were made of deer skin.
Yeah.
And they were weighing a ton.
Yeah.
And now they're made out of sponge. Well, they must soak up the water, I guess, but
they repel the water. They don't soak it up.
Right? Yeah.
You bet. You bet. So I had actually had somebody, his name was Lee Mark, actually sent a comment. This is going back a while ago, but I told him at some point we would get to doing a podcast on your goalie masks. And he said, why did you have that strange paint scheme at Edmonton? So describe what it was, what color it was, what it looked like, and then say what the paint scheme actually meant to you.
Well, in those days, they called me Jack in the Box because there was a hamburger place in the States. And they just called me Jack in the Box. And so one day, after practice or something, I took my mask home with me and I made it up for a clown's face, like for Jack in the Box. And I put a big smile on it. And I got some good pictures of that at home, just from old programs and stuff where you're standing there waiting to go into the net for the warm up. And you look around, there's a guy taking pictures and he gets a picture of you with your mask on. And and that's basically what it was. Is it's a face of, I don't know if you got pictures of it or not, but it's a face of Jack. And there it is right there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just showing you online here,
yeah,
for example, because I mean, you painted over it white when you went to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Because it was an orange mask with essentially a white nose, white eyes. And then you kind of painted a, clown smile on it type of thing.
Yeah, as you can see on this mask, you see the orange little pieces there?
Yeah.
Well, that's from that. I didn't quite get them off when I come time to doing it, but that's...
That's what it was. I never knew what it was, what it represented either, actually.
Pretty and in those days, you couldn't hire anybody because nobody did that sort of thing. Like, they goalies made their own things, and years after that, they started coming in.
It wasn't long, but...
So I did it myself.
Yeah.
Just took it home and painted it on, and then we had the weekend off or something, or I had another mask I could wear at practice next day so it would dry good. So
what did everybody say when you first showed up with this laughing. Painted mask?
I thought, oh, that looks good, Jake. Called me Jake all the time.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty cool.
That's funny.
Yeah. You remember things like that, you know, you think back in those days and they're all interesting and the guys you have are good comrades and you do funny things like that. You know, you got lots of time with the guys, so you just think you do funny things and that's the way the game goes.
You had also on the mask here, you made the eyes bigger on both of them. And you also cut off part of the protection on the neck area too, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about an inch and a half on the bottom. He ran this mask come down onto your chest quite a ways. Well, I didn't like that on the bottom, so I cut about an inch and a half off the bottom. Took a hacksaw one day and just cut it off.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it because if you're in a scramble or something, it's in your feet and it's in your feet and you're looking down for it, and if you dip your head down, your mask hits your chest pad and then pushes it up in your eyes.
Yeah.
And then you can't see. And then if you get hit, it's all out of place. So you got sharp places in there. It can be out of place in your face, and that's how you get cut. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I just made adjustments to the whole thing, but the mask itself was okay for those days. It was way better than that Sawchuck one. Like that Sawchuck one just wasn't hard enough. Mm-hmm. It's just too soft.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that if people think these masks offered protection from pain, they don't.
No.
They offer protection from basically maybe taking some of the impact, maybe some of the cuts away, that type of thing. But I wore your mask in a ball hockey tournament one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not a goaltender, but I pretend to play goaltender just like some other. Yeah. And it was with a tennis ball. The rink used to do this tournament at the end of the year. So we would go out and they turn the plant off. And by the end of the day, it's quarter inch of water, half an inch of water out there. And you're just getting soaked. But it was kind of a fun thing. So I wore your mask thinking, well, it's just a tennis ball. Well, I got hit in the face a few times and that wasn't fun.
No. Well, imagine if it was a puck.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Hard puck. I mean,
yeah.
You get rattled pretty good. That's why I say I've probably had ultimate concussions over my whole life with hits and just anything. I mean, I just don't know how many I've had. People are talking now, like, you see Crosby's, he's an upper body injury, but there's other guys like that football player from Saskatchewan. He had a concussion because he got hit with so be it. I mean, back in my day, you didn't get attention.
No.
You played and all there was to it.
Yeah, that's right.
You had to.
I'm sure there's a collector out there going, you wore that mask for a ball hockey tournament.
Yeah. Well, was it hot?
I don't remember it actually being hot or not. I just remember taking a ball in the face and I was like that. I kept playing, but I was just like, yeah, that's not that cool. No. Like this isn't, I should have wore a real mask or something because this looks cool, but can feel it.
Wear a catcher's mask.
Yeah. Anything, right?
Pads under.
Yeah. We joked about that. Remember we joked about that years ago that bat catchers have had masks for like, I don't know how many years. I'd have to look it up, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Because the first bat catcher that took one in the face was like, screw this, I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Where's goalies? Nope, I don't need one. Yeah. I'm good. Not till like 1959. So it was literally, I don't know if I'd mentioned that earlier in the podcast, but it was 59 years ago, basically, you know, today or November the 1st, that Jacques Plante wore his first mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 59 years ago.
Well, he was a big, big pusher on that. He was big on the masks, and he probably did well on them, selling them. You know, for me to, I'd probably had to pay to
make copy his model or whatever. Yeah, a lot of guys use his style.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. He probably did well on it, I'm sure. So,
yeah. But the replica guys are doing well nowadays. There's a ton of replica sites where you can buy all these different styles of masks.
Yeah.
And they're very common.
But like I say, I told you earlier, I like that wire front better because it's cooler and I think it's better vision from it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bigger, exactly, bigger right. holes.
Doesn't hurt.
No.
You can see.
Yeah.
They're designed so perfect now that a lot of the impacts deflected away.
I seen a guy there tonight, I don't know who was playing, but some team was playing, and a guy took a shot from 15, 20 feet, and he roofed it and hit the goalie right in the head.
Yeah, no big deal.
It didn't even fizz on. He just,
no big deal.
In fact, the announcer never even said nothing.
No.
He didn't even say it. Oh, it's off the goalie's head. He didn't say a word.
Well, like, I mean, your guys' mask covered most, like, all of your face, but not all of your head.
No.
You still had open areas out there.
Well, the first one I had, right from your middle of your forehead, everything above that's all wide open.
Yeah, it was open. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, just like that Bobby Hull shot, we talked about that story way back, is when he hit me, even if I had had this first mask on, it wouldn't have helped me because it hit the up the top of my head and just ripped me.
Oh.
And this mask wouldn't have helped me because I got cut up here.
Yeah.
And it just... And so they wouldn't have helped me anyway. So
well, I was reading a couple of stories there and stuff, but Eddie Johnson got, he went to a mask because he broke his nose three games in a row, three straight games he broke his nose. And I believe it was him that took a shot from Bobby Orr in the head during practice. And Glenn Hall went to go visit him in the hospital.
Oh.
And Eddie doesn't even remember. Glenn, he was so out of it. He was out of it. He was out of it from the practice, from the plane ride all the way to Detroit. They had to go to the hospital.
Oh.
And then Glenn Hall went to go visit him, and he was still out of it. And then from that day on, Glenn Hall decided to wear a mask.
Oh.
Because he saw how bad a shape Eddie Johnson was in. Taking one just in practice.
Oh, yeah. I just feel fortunate that I was able to get through those days just with cuts and stitches and not having a broken bone in my whole body. My nose is the only thing that ever got broken.
Yeah.
So I find I'm very fortunate to get through 13 years of NHL and minor league hockey. Just minor league hockey just as bad as the NHL because guys don't care in the minors.
No.
Where the NHL, they kind of do care.
Yeah.
But they Bobby, when he hit me, he was in the dressing room right at my feet when I woke up. He's standing right there, and I thought, I never met him before.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and I saw him there, and I thought, holy cow.
Yeah.
And he looked scared.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those masks are pretty interesting, you know. They're... you show them to people, and they always want to try them on, and they always want to punch me in the face with it and everything, and they're like, that hurt.
Yeah, I know.
It rattles. It's always funny. Good. Hey, it's kind of the old gag. You want to try it on? They try it on. You want me to hit you? Yeah, hit me. And then you do, and they're like, ow.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, good old time jokes. So, no, that's good. I think we'll shut her down there. That was pretty interesting. And, well, I guess we'll talk to you next week then.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll think of something.
We'll figure out something. Yeah. You betcha. All right. Yep. Talk to you later, Jackson.
You bet.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, bye. Well, that ends episode 6 of season 2 of the Jack Norris podcast, Jack Unmasked, where Jack shares what it was like to get the masks custom made back then and just what it was like in general to wear them and what he liked and disliked and how he modified them and his paint jobs and such. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. If you would like to be notified of each podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.ncca.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of each podcast as they come out. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
They put you on a table and stick some things in your nose and tell you they're going to shield around your face. And what they do is they pour plaster on your face. You've got to keep your eyes closed, keep your mouth closed, and you're breathing through these two little straws in your nose. I mean, to me, I just about panicked when they were doing it. I remember doing it because it was not nice.